I'm going to first read through our passage this morning and then hopefully not stray so far from my text that we don't ever get back to it later, but so that we get it all covered now, I'd like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. Her name was Mary Lou, according to Reverend James Moore, who tells this story. Her name was Mary Lou, and his name was Tom. They were both in their very late 80s, and they were celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. A news reporter was there to talk to them about that big event, and he asked this question. He said, "Mr. Tom, so many marriages today, just don't last that long. And yet, here you are, you and your wife, celebrating 60 years together. How did you do it? What is your secret?" Well, Mr. Tom hardly had to think for just a moment to answer that question. Without hesitation, he said, "Well, the answer is on the face of my watch," he said. "Mary Lou's father gave me this watch as a wedding gift on our wedding day. And over the years, this watch has played a very large part in our happiness and the success of our marriage." Well, the reporter didn't understand, and so he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And Mr. Tom pulled out his watch and had him look at it a little more carefully. For inscribed across the face of the watch were these words: "Tom, tell Mary Lou that you love her." So every time he looked at his watch, all those days, all those years, there was that reminder: tell Mary Lou that you love her. Well, I think that's a pretty good thing for all of us to do. For those of us who are married, I think that's what we should be telling our spouses, not just once a day, but many times a day, because we never grow tired of hearing it, and I hope we never grow tired of saying it. And to our children and our grandchildren, and to our parents and our grandparents. It's an important part of being the people God calls us to be. Well, I think Tom's father-in-law was a smart man. He realized how much all of us need reminders, how much all of us need to be constantly reminded of who we are and whose we are and what we should be about. Two men were talking one day over lunch, and the first man said, "My wife has a terrible memory. The worst memory you can imagine." And the second man said, "You mean she forgets everything?" He said, "Oh no, she remembers everything." Oh, we probably know some people like that, don't we? You know, particularly if there's ever been a slight or an injustice, some people can remember that forever, it seems. Now, most of us have the opposite problem, and this is where I fall. I have a hard time remembering things. I really do. I don't know about you. If I get interrupted and I'm heading up the stairs and I want to get halfway, the doorbell rings or the phone answers. When I'm done, I don't know if I was going up or coming down. And I'll be looking for my pen, and I didn't know I was looking for my pen because I've got the refrigerator door. And what is it that I wanted? Oh, yes, I wanted my pen. And I have that problem. In fact, my memory has gotten so bad that I long ago resorted to, if you ever see me looking for a date in my book, you'll see all these little notes in here. This is to remind me of the things I'm supposed to do. But my memory has gotten so bad that I have to make a note and put it somewhere to remind me to look at my notes in my book. And thank heavens for cell phones, because I go to my wife was sending me to Carnes. It's 1 mile away from where I live in Boiling Springs. And she'll have three things that you want me to get, eggs, milk, and bread. I don't know, that's a little too simple, but there'll only be three things. And she said, you're going to write that down? I said, dear, I can remember three things. I get to the store and I'm calling, dear, what was the third thing on that list? I just don't remember. Unless it's something I really wanted, it's, you know, out the other side. It can be difficult to remember. Well, that was the problem, I think, of that Deuteronomy chapter 6 is all about. Moses is reminding the people that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. He does this by passing on this important word, this great commandment, recorded for us for the first time in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. I think it's one of the mountain peak moments in all of the scriptures, the great commandment of the Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. No other gods. Just none. The Lord is our God. So you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now Jesus picks up on this later on in his earthly ministry, does he not? And adds to it, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. But we're getting ahead of the game. And we're going to stick to this very first great commandment this morning. Now let me tell you why Moses is giving the people this great commandment at this time. He's led the people out of Egyptian slavery. They have been terrible years. And for 40 years, this nomadic people have been traveling in the wilderness. They've been depending on God for everything. And now two very dramatic things are about to happen in their history. First, they're going to cross into the promised land, which is what they've been dreaming about. This is what they've been looking forward to for all these years. But secondly, Moses is not going to go with them. He has grown old and weak, and Moses will not be with them to lead them into this promised land as they establish themselves there. And Moses will not be with them to remind them constantly that they are God's covenant people. Moses has been preaching that to them and teaching them that for 40 years. But he's not going to be there to remind them anymore. And so he gives them this speech, this great commandment. To help them remember, he puts a sticky note on their steering wheel, you know, or has them tie a string around their finger. He has them put I've got a new application in my daughter told me about this for my cell phone. It's called Notes. And I can set the alarm to remind me. I just forget to set the alarm all the time. So I got to find some way to maybe a sticky note on it. That's what my wife does to me. You know, she sends me anywhere anymore. I go out to my car and go, and there it is, right there in the steering wheel, sticking me. Now, Dave, don't forget. Don't forget. Moses is telling his people, don't forget, you're going to go into this promised land. Don't forget who you are. Put these words on your doorposts of your homes. Put these words on the gates of your city. Wear them on your armbands and your headbands. Speak them in every worship service. Teach them to your children. Don't give in to the temptation to worship the gods of the Canaanites. Don't water down or contaminate your faith. Don't chase after every new fad that comes along. Just put your trust in Yahweh. Serve Him and Him alone. For all those years, they've been struggling to survive in the wilderness. Now they're going to enter into this beautiful, wonderful, promised land. It's going to be more fertile than they can ever imagine. But there are some important things for these people to know. There are already people living there, for one thing. And these people have their own sets of gods they worship. They had a god of wine and a god of war and a god of fertility and a god of this and a god of that. And they had idols every place. You couldn't turn around without finding some idol to some god or something to worship. And Moses wants them to don't go there. Don't go there. Remember who you are. Don't forget. You are a covenant people. You are God's people. You owe God your allegiance. The great commandment is given to remind us of that. We are to know who we are and whose we are and to live accordingly. We We must be knowledgeable about our faith. We must be knowledgeable about our faith. We need to learn. We need to study. You know? A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5- and 6-year-olds, and after explaining the commandment to these little kids to honor your father and your mother, she says, "Now, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sister, our brothers and sisters?" And one little boy says, "Yes, thou shalt not kill." That's probably true. And sometimes maybe our moms and our dads had to remind us if we had a whole slew of brothers like I did growing up. "Now, boys, you know, settle down." But education is important. James Every Wright said this. He says, you know, the Chevy Nova was a relatively successful American car for a lot of years, encouraged by U.S. You have to be of a certain age to remember the Chevy Nova. I'll say that right off. So right now I know James Every Wright was an old duffer like me, because I never met him, but I found this on the internet when I was looking up some stuff the other day. He says, now, encouraged by car sales in the United States, Chevy decided to market the American Nova throughout the world. Unfortunately, the Nova did not do well in Mexico and many other Latin American countries. So they bought more ads and did more advertising to, you know, stepped up the marketing efforts to see if they couldn't sell more Novas. But they were baffled. It had sold so well in America. Why not in Mexico? When they discovered the answer, it was kind of embarrassing. It seems that in Spanish, Nova means no go. Hey, I'm going to run down to the dealership and I'm going to buy me one of those no-goes. So they didn't sell too many of those. You know, the business world is full of such stories of people thinking they've got something all worked out, but it doesn't translate so well in another culture. Another example, Purdue Farms, the poultry company, converted its popular slogan, "It takes a tough man to make a tender chicken." It takes a tough man to make a tender chicken. They translated that into Spanish, hoping to expand their chicken business, but the Spanish translation turns out to be much more like this. It takes a virile man to make a chicken affectionate. I don't know. I'm going to be doing the Sunday school lesson for the Geyer class a little later, and I was reading about the author. It's starting a brand new fall series, and I was reading about the author, and you don't need to know all this except that he's retired and he lives with his wife, his great big dog of some sort, and 3 exotic chickens. Oh, dear golly, I grew up on a farm. I never met an exotic chicken. But and try to make a chicken affectionate. Probably not going to sell a lot of chickens. Important part I want to get through this morning to all of us is that we are called to remember. We are called never to forget. And the way in which we do that, you see, is by learning, by studying, by growing ourselves so we know what we believe, and then by doing exactly what Moses is telling his people to do, and that is to teach it to our children. We are to carry that knowledge with us wherever we go. Well, Sunday schools, I grew up in a little country church, and some Sunday school teachers maybe had it all together a little better than others. But there were 2 lawyers, really good friends, 2 lawyers arguing among themselves. Much to the amazement of one of them, the other says, "You know, I became a Sunday school teacher." The other says, "You a Sunday school teacher?" I said, I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." "Oh, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer," said the other lawyer. "It's now I lay me down to sleep." The second lawyer says, "You win. I didn't think you knew that." Well, you know, if we don't know what we're talking about, we can't teach it to anybody else, can we? So the point I'm trying to get across this morning, as Moses was trying to speak to his people as they entered into the Holy Land, we need to know who we are. We need to know who we are, and we must teach it to our children. We must not forget so that they won't forget. You probably all have remember the book by Robert Fulghum, you know, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And I think we could change that a little bit to say, all I ever really needed to know about my faith I learned in Sunday school. You know, what did we learn? We learned that God is great and God is good. God is big and strong and mighty, and there is nothing that our God cannot do. We learned that Jesus loves me. We learned that in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We learned that Jesus is living and dying proof of God's love for you and me. We learned that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, children from America, children from Mexico, children from Afghanistan, children from Africa. You find me a child that God doesn't love. Can't do it. I learned that in Sunday school. I learned it by the time I was 6 years old. But there are people in this society of ours today who don't believe it. Well, I won't go down that line before I... Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. We learned that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We believe, because of what we've learned in Sunday school, that we have a mission in this world. The gospel is good news, and it demands to be shared. It deserves to be shouted from the housetops, printed on balloons, slapped on billboards, chanted at ball games, scrawled across the sky. We learned in Sunday school that one of the best ways to share the gospel is by the way we live, you and me. Sunday school taught us so very much. The Lord is my shepherd. It taught us about Abraham and Isaac and David and Goliath. Perhaps even that thou shalt not kill thy little brother. These are the basics. There is so much more to life, so much more to know, so much more to learn. There's so much more to Christian discipleship than just the basics. There is so much more that we need to do to grow in faith. And that is the value of Sunday school. That's the value of small groups. That's the value of Bible reading your Bibles and studying your Bibles. It's the value of short-term studies. We are never too old to study. We're never too old to grow in the faith. We must never forget who we are and whose we are and pass that knowledge along to those who will come after us. We carry the word in our hearts and in our minds. We carry it by the way we live. We teach it to our children and our grandchildren, for God loves each and every one of us so much that he sent his own son to die on a cross like this. Die on a cross. And he told his disciples, every time you take this bread and every time you drink this cup, do it to remember him. Do it to remember who you are. Do it to remember whose you are. Do it to remember what God has called you to do, what God has called you to be, and the way God has called you to live. Amen.